Want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to be here again with you. Bring greetings to you from the Philippines. Brother Bert sends his greetings, and also Brother Oliver talks with him this morning. It's the first time in a long time from Saudi Arabia, and it's a real blessing to visit with them again and be encouraged by them. Does anyone have any announcements need to make? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. Lord, we pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, Father. Help us be faithful to you, Lord, that we might be the light of this earth and the salt, Father, of this earth, the light to the world. God, just help us, Lord. We pray that you'd send forth labors into your harvest. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to turn to 1 John. I'm just going to go through this chapter here and a little bit into the second one. I'm blessed by this. First Epistle to John, of John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Stop right there for a moment. John, giving a message of what he had understood and had seen and heard of Christ and of God. He talks about the word of life, and he also talks about the things that he had seen and heard, the light that had come into the world. And this was Christ. And he talks about writing this down as a witness. We sang in that song just a moment ago about the written word. The written word of God. And there's a distinguishment between the written word of God and the living word of God and the word of God. But yet, their message, whenever it's all the same, is the word of God. The Word of God today, many people worship the Bible. But they don't hear the Word of God. They worship this book, but yet they don't hear the Word, the eternal Word of God that has been spoken throughout all creation. They worship and exalt the book, but they miss the eternal life that was manifested and given to us. We love the book, and we learn from the book. And what we see in the book is what men wrote down about their experience with God. Men just like you and I. The Bible says in James in chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Elias was a man of like passions, just like you. He had the same feelings and the same emotions and the same desires as you do. Every man in the Bible that wrote a Bible, every holy man in the Bible that lived for Christ, lived that way with the same desires and temptations that you have. The exact same. A lot of times we exalt men and we just think they had something special, that they were so much higher, that they were made of something different than we are. But they weren't. They were men of like passions, just like God, or just like Elijah, and just like us. They chose to follow the light. They chose to listen to the eternal Word of God that was spoken from heaven. And they laid aside those desires and those passions, and they lived their life choosing to follow the way of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Someone who lives for Christ has a different set of afflictions than what the world faces. But yet, they face the same afflictions that the world faces. Do you understand that? They have a different battle besides the natural battle of man. You and I face the same afflictions just like everybody else in the world. But we also have another battle. We've forsaken this world. We've turned from the path that this world's on and entered into the kingdom of God. So we're looked upon to the world as traitors. The king of this world, Satan, sees us as rebels. Sees us as runaways. And he's pursuing us like a roaring lion, trying to draw us back into his realm. And we have these afflictions and these troubles that we face every day that everyone else in the world faces. And we have to live with them and those troubles and those problems that come along. But we also have the devil as a roaring lion trying to get us entangled in these problems to draw us back into his kingdom and to his realm. We face problems and we even fail sometimes. We struggle. We have to face lust. We have to face covetousness. We have to face anger. And we have to battle with those things continually in our life. Just like everybody else in the world. But we've chosen to put those things away. And we've chosen to fight them instead of going along with them. And we've chosen to come out of the world and we're on a different path. Sometimes people look at us or I know we think of ourselves sometimes and we think, well, we're really not that different than everybody else. We face the same struggles as everyone else. We're tempted with the same things as everyone else. And sometimes we even fail. And we look at ourselves and, well, what's the difference? The difference is we have chosen a different road. And we're on a different path. And that path lifts us up above those things. And it brings us into another battle that the world doesn't know. It brings us into the light. And it brings us into walking this path that's above those things. And it causes more trouble upon us. And we look and we see we're tempted and we're having to work and we're having to fight this world. And everybody else is doing the same thing. But they're just on the path that goes right along with the world. And it's just the natural way. We've chosen to turn from that and get on the path that leads to eternal life. We've turned from this world. It says that in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These were men that he's talking about. The brethren are men of like passions, just like everyone else in the world. But they've chosen to turn from this world and be men and women and people of God. They've chosen to be righteous and live holy, dedicating themselves to Christ and His kingdom. All the men in the Bible that God teaches, that learned anything from God, learned. And then they told others of what they had learned. All throughout the history of the Bible, men who walked with God explained it and taught and wrote it down what they had learned. And all these different men who had left testimony and witnesses, holy men of God who were inspired by God. They were encouraged in God. It wasn't necessarily some great new revelation that they learned. They sought God with their heart, and it was revealed to them, the truth, and they wrote it down and they gave it to others. And all these different men, when they put all these things together, that's where we get our Bible. That's where we get the written word from. It was just like we wrote these things down that we learned so that others could understand what we went through. That's the real blessing whenever we read the Bible and we read of someone maybe going through trouble or persecution, or we read the martyr's mirror, or we read something in history of men who were faithful to God. Our spirit bears witness with what they're going through. We know what they're going through because we're of the same spirit. They're kindred to us. They're our brothers. They're with us, and we understand. And we know what they went through whenever they were brought up before churches, when they were brought up before governments, when their families rejected them, whenever they were facing trouble, and we read it. And their spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that spirit bears witness with our spirit because it's the spirit that Christ faced whenever He came into the world. That spirit of rejection and hatred that the world offered. They were like men, just like you. One of my favorite things is Hebrews, where it talks about the great cloud of witnesses that's surrounding us. That it's a big grandstand of all those who have gone on before. Moses and Abraham and Stephen and John and John the Baptist. They're all watching the grandstand right now. And you know where the playing field is? It's right here. They're all watching us. They're watching you. And they're all up in the clouds as a great grandstand around us, watching the battle that is happening now. Their time was over. One time they were in the arena. They were there being faithful. They were there doing their part. And now they were successful and they were victorious. They passed the torch on. And now they're in the grandstands watching with all the angels and the great host of witnesses. And they're watching right now. And it's our time. They left us record of themselves. They left us. They wrote down what they experienced. They told it to others. And that's been passed on. And that's where we get the Bible. It's those who have gone on, have written it all down, and now are watching to see what we're going to do with our time on this earth. What we're going to do when it's our turn to carry the torch to the next generation. What are we going to do with that? You know, it's whenever I was starting to seek the Lord, and I went all over looking for people to give me wisdom, to give me guidance, asking for help from a lot of people. And very, very few of them had what the Bible was teaching. Very few of them. A lot of them would go so far, but then they wouldn't go anymore. And so I would learn what I could and then have to move on and look for someone else. I was searching diligently for someone to pass the torch or pass the baton. And I just kept looking. And it just wasn't there. They just weren't there. I spent years going from door to door, not only trying to share and tell people that they needed to repent and to follow Jesus, but I was also looking for someone who was. Someone who actually believed what Jesus taught and put into practice what the Bible taught and how to live the way Jesus lived on this earth. And I searched and searched, and I wasn't there. They weren't there. So I thought I was crazy. I thought I was all by myself in the world. Because I saw what the Bible said, but I didn't see anybody doing it. I knew what we had to do. And I began to meet a brother here and there that had that same spirit and had that same desire. And we began to work together, and we searched together for others. But the baton wasn't being passed on. We found a few stragglers here and there. We found a few here and there that were looking. But there wasn't a body, there wasn't a movement even that was passing that torch on of the kingdom. There was people who were holding tradition and had for 400 or 500 years. But the fire of that torch was not there. There was people who were trying to mimic the evangelical movement, but only putting plain clothes in it. But that light wasn't there. The baton wasn't being passed like John is talking about whenever we've wrote, we've seen, we've handled, and we want to share it with you. That's what our desire is to be able to be one who passes the torch from faith to faith, so that when we offer something to someone, we have the kingdom message to offer them. Not a part message, not a mixed up message, but the kingdom of God come upon this earth. The life was manifest and John saw it. And they bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Then in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Our message. This is the message that we heard from Him. They wrote it down. The message that the things that He was teaching were light. It wasn't a shadow like we have in the Old Testament of things that had just tried to cast a shadow on what was really right. Just trying to slowly reveal the truth that God had established and written on man's hearts from the very beginning. And there was a lot of confusion. And men wrote laws and tried to fix all those things, trying to follow what was right. But yet, men didn't want what was right. They loved their darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, holy men at that time were trying to corral them into following and doing what's right. So they wrote a lot of laws and put down all these laws to try to control the people. They broke those laws, so they had to make new laws, just like it happens today. If someone is not walking in the light themselves, a million laws aren't going to keep them or bring them into that light. Jesus said, "Follow me." And He said, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus is a shepherd, and He calls His sheep, and His sheep come out from everywhere, and they follow. Like whenever we're messing with cattle, I've got my cows trained so that I can call them. And they just come from everywhere. Coming out of the hills and the hollers and everywhere whenever I holler for them. They know my voice and they come to me. If there's cows from somewhere else and they don't know my voice, they don't even pay any attention. They follow. And Jesus said, those that hear the light, they hear my voice. And they rise up out of all kinds of different situations. Good and bad. Church, unchurch. Everything. But they hear His voice. And they rise up and follow. And they follow. They choose to follow. Jesus is a shepherd, not a sheepdog. A sheepdog has to go around the sheep and make sure none of them get out here or there. They're running back and forth. If you've ever watched a dog work, they're over here chasing this one. And as soon as one goes over here, they got to run all the way around and bring it back, trying to keep them all huddled together. That's what most pastors are trying to do. It's what most preachers are trying to do. They're trying to, we got to make a new law over here. We'll run over here. There's people getting out over here. Well, there's people getting out over here. We gotta get them all corralled in here. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." If you want to leave, said it before. There's a door here. There's a door there. There's one back there. If you don't want to follow Jesus, go. I'm not going to force you or corral you into following Jesus. If you want to follow, you be a part of the body of Christ and you do what you're supposed to do. You follow Christ. And we'll follow Christ together. But if you don't want to, if you want to go do whatever you want, if you want to go buy a race car and parade around town, go for it. But don't pretend to be a Christian. If you want the world, go for it. But don't pretend to be a disciple. Christ wants sheep that want to follow Him and choose to follow Him and will take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow Him. That's a different road. It's a different path than the world's on. We face the same struggles. We have the same temptations. We have the same desires. But we're choosing to walk away from this world. And if you want to follow Christ, let's walk together. But if you want the world, don't be pretending. Take the world. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Pretty simple. If we say that we want to be a Christian, or we are a Christian, and we walk in darkness, we're deceiving ourselves. If you do not follow the teachings of Jesus and His kingdom, you are not a Christian. I don't care what kind of experience you've had. I don't care what healing you've had. What manifestation of whatever you've had. If you're not following Christ and following and obeying His teachings, you're not a Christian. It's just that simple. There's a lot of people that have been healed. And they think they've had an encounter with God. God is good. God will do good to all men. He's good to the evil and good to the good. He's good. But just because He's good doesn't make you a Christian. It's when you choose to follow and you choose to obey. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here is the order of the gospel. If we walk in the light, God reveals His light to you through His Word. He shows us how He wants us to live. And sometimes those are difficult steps. Sometimes it means we're going to have to forsake the world. Sometimes it means we're going to have to forsake family, friends, our job, the way we live, whatever it may be. But I'm going to walk in the light, whatever it'll cost. Because I've heard my shepherd and I'm going to follow Him. And when we walk in that light, we begin to have fellowship with others who are walking in that light. And our fellowship's not only with others, but it's with Christ. And as we walk in that light and we begin to have fellowship, then we get a promise. The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sin. He begins to purify us as we walk in the light. Evangelicals got it all backwards. You come and get the blood, and then Jesus puts something in you, or He comes to live in you, supposedly, and then you start doing right. The problem is, how many of them ever start following Jesus that claim to have been washed in the blood? The blood is important, but it's only applied as we walk in the light and begin to have fellowship with others who are walking in the light. It's all backwards to get the blood and then start going to church and then maybe start seeing a little light here and there. That's exactly opposite of what Brother John is teaching us here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. Churches, the evangelicals put a lot of emphasis on those things because they got to believe and confess that they're sinners before they can even be saved. We know that we have done wrong. We know that we have departed from God. We have departed from God. That's the sin. We think of terrible debauchery. That's bad, but a little covetousness isn't that bad. Doesn't look near as bad. In fact, it looks pretty good. You can even help people. But whenever you're living in the depths of sin, that's not the balance God is looking at. God sees the whole world following this world, this kingdom. That is sin. That's the problem. Whether you're the best person in the world. There's people that live what we would call holy, pure, clean lives that are the world. Through and through. They might never even say poo-poo. They wouldn't say a bad word. They wouldn't say anything. And they live nice, clean lives. But they're still the world. And that is the sin that separates us from God. We've chosen to love this world instead of the kingdom of God. That's the problem. It's not how bad you've sinned. You were a drug addict. You were a sex fiend. You were all of those things. Those are wrong. But that's not the sin that separates you from God. The sin that separates you from God is the loving the kingdom of this world, whether good or bad. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I was taught all of my life, growing up in evangelical circles and even in plain circles, that Jesus was up in heaven as a lawyer, and if we sinned, Jesus would run to God and say, "Oh God, forgive them. Please, forgive them. I died for them." That's what I was taught. That Jesus was an advocate between us and God. That He was trying to satisfy God because He was punished. And that God didn't have to see us. We would be just completely shielded because Christ was there in between us. That brings a little tension between Jesus and the Father. They're not one in that idea. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an accuser that's trying to destroy us. Oh, hey, wait, that one's getting on my territory. I'm going to claim him. And Jesus says, "No, wait. Not so fast. He's coming back. Look, he's coming back. You can't have him. Yeah, he failed, but he's coming back. He's still mine." And on the judgment day, all the sea of humanity, and Satan is going to say, "There's mine, there's mine, there's mine, there's mine. In fact, these are all mine." And there'll be a multitude of them in that crowd saying, "Lord, Lord." And He'll say, "I don't know you. Depart from me. You belong with that crowd." But then He's going to say, "Hey, wait. There's one. That one's mine. That one is mine. He followed me. He heard my voice. She listened. She obeyed. She did what I told him to do. That one is mine." And with the Father, He's an advocate against the adversary, the devil. He's with the Father, not in opposition, defending us to Him. He's with the Father against our adversary, the one who's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're in a dangerous, dangerous world. And the devil is alive and trying to devour us, trying to bring us into his temptation, trying to tempt us by our own lust to bring us into this, to into his snare again. He's the enemy. That's why we have to be on guard. That's why we have to watch, lest we be tempted and drawn away. Lest we be drawn back into His kingdom and trapped again. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. A propitiation. When Jesus died on the cross, He satisfied the charge of death. He died a sinless life, and He overcame sin and death. He died And He became the satisfaction for the claim that Satan had on our lives. He became the price that was paid that we owed to death. He didn't have to satisfy God. God is for us. He created us for Himself. He came so that we could be brought back to God and reconciled to God. Not because we could just say God or Jesus just covered all my sins and God doesn't see it anymore. He paid the price. Because we had sinned, because we had gone away and followed Satan's kingdom, Christ came and died to redeem us from that. And He became that propitiation. Not only for ours, but for the whole world. Man is under the bondage of Satan. Now, I believe that the only way that any man ever gets healed is because of what Christ died. Because of what Christ did. The only way a man gets delivered from sin is because of what Christ did. Whether he's thankful for it, whether he returns and follows God or not, Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. And men can live nice, clean, holy lives, loving this world, all because of what Jesus did. And yet they still do not follow Him and follow His teachings. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." If your assurance is based on anything other than you obeying the kingdom commandments of Christ and following His kingdom, your assurance is a false one. This is where assurance it comes from, is when we're walking in the light that He's given us. "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If we say that we're Christians and we're not keeping the teachings of Christ, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him." Not because I have peace, not because I have comfort, not because I have anything that tells me that I'm saved, but because I'm walking in the light. And my spirit is bearing witness with the Spirit of God. I'm a part of His kingdom. And this world rejects that. Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." We are charged to walk like Jesus walked. And because He died and set us free from Satan and from this world and from his power, we can walk like He walked. We can be the kingdom of God on this earth as it is in heaven. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which He had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." This is what God created us to be from the very beginning. Sin is refusing to be what God made you to be. That's the sin that separates us from God. Is you choosing, making an active choice not to walk in the kingdom of God. Whenever you compromise, whenever you make a decision because of the price or because of the cost or because of what you might suffer to turn from the kingdom of God, You're just as guilty as a drug addict. You're just as guilty as a murderer. You're just as guilty as a rapist. Because you've left the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "He that endures to the end will be saved." Let us walk in the light while it is day. It's our time in this world to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the foot of men and trodden under the foot of men. Just walked on. It's just earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, that's all it's good for. It challenges to be faithful to His kingdom. That's the dangerous sin. Sometimes we fail, but we get right back up. But when you make a choice that you're going to compromise the kingdom, that's whenever the lights go out. That's when the lights go out. You may continue to be religious all of your life, but when you compromise the kingdom, the lights go out. And how great is that darkness whenever we choose to walk against the way. That's when you get into apostasy. That's when it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just saved. I'm good. I'm still going to church. I'm still loving Jesus. That's the great deception. That men on the judgment day will stand and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do all those wonderful things? But you compromised. You didn't walk in my light. You'd rather have the applause of men and the favor of people than me." Be strong. Be vigilant. Be sober. Walk in the straight and narrow path that will lead to life. Father, we come before You again. We just thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us. Help us be faithful to You. Lord, help us walk in the light as He is in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Lord willing, we'll have a baptism at McDowell at the Low Water Bridge. We've got four brethren wanting to be baptized and follow the Lord today.
have them give their testimony this evening. We'll meet down there at 4 o'clock, and then we'll come back after that, and we'll have fellowship dinner here. Everybody's welcome. Anyone else have anything? All right, then. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Kevin, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. We thank you that you are continuing showing us your word and you live righteously and sternly. Father, we ask you to be with the brothers and sisters throughout this world. Hearing your word and standing up and picking up their cross and following after you. Show grace upon them and teach them to live more righteously and become perfect as it says we should become perfect as our Father. So we ask for strength as we go out and be out in this world. We can come to give salt and good life to those around us. We can be an example to help show them the path and the way. So we ask to continue to be with each and every one of us at the home. Struggles in life, help us bear our cross. God, you send your sweet and precious name and pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.